verse 13. We're going to be doing a little bit of Bible surfing today. So when I give you a scripture, it doesn't mean it's going to go all in a row. You might be hopping waves over to another set here, so roll with me. But starting in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Verse 18 says, "Then they called him in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" Jumping down to verse 29, Peter and John had returned to their people, but they began to pray, and it says here, they prayed, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. God, I thank you that you have met us here, that you are going to speak your word. Anoint your servant to bring forth your word with boldness. Anoint our ears and our hearts to receive your word, to apply it to our lives, that we leave here changed to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you about boldness and origin story. Quite often we read scriptures like these and we think, wow, man, these guys were lucky. They got to walk with Jesus. And we say, man, I want boldness like that. How many of you have ever prayed for boldness? It's okay to say yes. This isn't like praying for patience. Praying for boldness is a good thing. But many of us have prayed for boldness. And a lot of times we don't know what's next after that prayer. How does that prayer being answered, what does that look like? How does that happen in my life? God, when am I going to see that prayer answered? I want boldness. And we see so many people in the Bible, and they accomplish great things. And we think there must be something special, or they must have learned something that I don't know about boldness. There must be another aspect of God that I haven't caught on to yet that enables boldness. Or some of us may look at it like a video game, and I have to unlock certain things to release boldness in my life. But actually, the origin story of boldness is a lot more simple. I won't use the word easy, because nothing in your walk with God comes easy. Nothing in life that's good comes easy, right? I tell you, if good things came easy, I would weigh 60 less pounds. But they don't. I've learned the hard way that anything good requires effort. But it doesn't mean that just because it's hard that it has to be complicated. A lot of things, again, that are good and are hard are actually simple. Just my wife can't keep me away from the Baja Blast Mountain Dew. And so the trial continues. But I want you to turn with me to Judges chapter 6. And when I look at the origin, how does boldness come out? The story of Gideon stood out to me. Judges 6 and 1, it says, "The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian." It's chapter verse 6. "And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord." Jumping down to verse 8. "And the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery.'" And verse 10 says, "And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Dad said, "Hey, we need some wheat. Go make it." And Gideon, in his boldness, was scared to death of the Midianites. And so this dude took his wheat, went out to the loneliest, lowest, hidingest place he could find to do what daddy told him to do. That doesn't sound very bold to me. This dude was scared, and he's going to tell us here in a little bit. I'm in the lowest tribe, and I'm the least of the lowest tribe. He has no esteem, and he has no courage. So what did God see in this guy? And it says in verse 11, it says, on verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And you're probably sitting there wondering, just like Gideon was, "Who, me?" I think you got the wrong guy. He's the guy that's not hiding behind the barn, threshing the wheat. And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the dude's full of excuses. He's over here whining and complaining. "But God, if you're so strong, why am I going through this?" I know you said that stuff too, just like I have. I'm not making fun of you, but I am making fun of someone we think is so extra special and full of boldness. He's not. He's just like you and me. He's scared of scary things. He doesn't understand the impossible, just like us. But God turned to him and said, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" He turned to the lowest guy in the lowest tribe, hiding behind the barn, whining and giving excuses, and told him, basically, "What you've got is enough for what I need to do." He said, "Go in this might of yours." He didn't say, "I'm going to give you something special." He didn't say, "Hold on a minute while I build up your faith because you're not quite there yet." He said, "Just get up and do what I ask you to do." It's not complicated, but it's not easy. God wasn't asking for special gifts out of Gideon. He said, "Can you listen to what I tell you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel?" See, he's got the same questions. "Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me." You know what? I kind of understand that, because I've prayed before too and said, "God, I need a word from you. I need something that I know is from you." Some people look at this at Gideon, and Gideon was a man who's always looking for a sign, right? And some people see that as a weakness or as a defect in his character, not having enough faith, what have you. But I tell you what, I've been there. I can't blame the guy. And he said, "Please don't depart from me here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." See, even he knew the whole, "God, if you're going to, I need your help, I'm going to butter you up a little bit. Let me make you some dinner." See, if I was God, that would work every single time. And so God told him, he said, "I'm not going to leave till you return." He said, "I'll stay right here." And so Gideon, he went to his house, he prepared a young goat, he got some cakes together, threw some flour together, put meat in a basket, got the whole nine yards, boiled up some broth just in case God wasn't feeling too hot that day, and he brought it there to him. He said, "Hey, I made you some dinner." And verse 20 says, "And the angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them.' And he did what he told him to do." And verse 21 says, "And the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock, consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight." And Gideon, just like me and you, looked at all that and said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." I tell you what, the sign he got is better than any sign I've ever gotten. That was pretty sweet. And so Gideon was like, "Okay, I guess, all right, God, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I've known that God is with me now." But then God turned to him and said, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." I tell you what, that too, I got that magical sign and I got a promise that I ain't going to die. I'll be feeling invincible. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." And to this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. I tell you what, when you know you are walking in the will of God, and you know you're doing what God has called you to do, you know that you are in line with the Spirit, there is nothing else that can describe that but peace. No matter what's going on around, as the song we just sang, you are still the same. No matter what's going on around me, I know I'm where I need to be. I know I am where I was created to be, and I'm doing what my God has asked me to do. And he said, this is a place of peace. And that night, God told him, see, God said, hey, I got something coming for you. And the first thing God told him to do, it wasn't, hey, go get an army and go fight the Midianites. The first thing God told him to do is you got to clean house. You got to get your house in order before you start going on offense. He said, take your father's bull and the second bull 7 years old and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the Asherah that is beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold there with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. You know what? Sometimes the enemy isn't outside, but it's crept inside. And sometimes, as much as we love our family, as much as we care about them, and we always will, sometimes the enemy tries to use them against us. It's important we don't say, hey, you know, that's because my family is bad. Because you know what? God still loves your family. And God wants to save your family. And if you let him use you, God will use you to show his light, to deliver them and to give them a chance at eternal life. But you can't sit back there and not do what God's asked you to do. You can't say, God, you have to use somebody else. Because if you don't care enough about them, if you don't care enough about them to live this in front of them and to stand your ground and stand up for what's right, then who will? God's going to use somebody. So Gideon took the men of his servants and did as the Lord had told them. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. This was a dude that was just face to face with the angel of the Lord, was promised he wasn't going to die, still scared of daddy. Can you relate? Anybody else? There ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Gideon was too. You know why? Because when you walk out of here, you're back in the real world. And you know what? If you don't get filled up here, the world still beat you on Monday. You can't just come here and just do church here. You got to take it with you. You can't just build the altar and leave it there. But you got to say, hey, I'm taking this piece with me. But even though he was still scared, you got to give credit to Gideon because he still did it. Yeah. You can look at him and be like, dude was scared. How can you still be scared? I do look at it that way. You know what? Hey, I hope, if I'm ever in that situation, that I still have the boldness, right? But dude is still without boldness. Yeah. But you know what he did have? He had obedience. And if you have obedience, you give God room to work with boldness in your life. So it says, when the men of the town rose up early in the morning, and behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and Asherah beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said one to another, who has done this thing? After they had searched and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. And the men of the town said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down. Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, that is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he broke down his altar. You see, even though Gideon didn't already have the boldness, the obedience stood out to his dad. He said, this man believes something. He may not be all he's going to be, but he's obedient. He's standing his ground. He's standing up for what he knows is right. And you know what? I respect that. And Baal, if you're a god, take care of yourself. You see, already his obedience and his willing to do what God asked him to do was making a difference in his family. And he hadn't even reached bold yet. You can make a difference in your family's life just with obedience. Because you know what? If you sit around waiting for boldness, you're going to be sitting there waiting a long time. God can't do a work in a land of rebellion. And I don't mean that to be antagonistic or to be derogatory or rude and attacking you. I'm telling you the opposite of obedience is rebellion. You get a little confused when I make it real simple. I look at my kids. I say, clean your room. He doesn't clean his room. That's rebellion. And that's a whooping. It's real simple. The rules of my house are not complicated. But God says, if you'll be obedient, I can do something with that. And when you start to make a change in your life, and you say, it's as simple as putting one foot in front of the other. I don't know where this path is heading, God, but I know what is right, and I'm going to start doing it. It might just be little things at a time, but I'm going to do what I know to do until God shows me something different. And when he shows me something different, I'm going to go that way. Amen? Then all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people of the east assembled together, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. How many times, as soon as you got on the right path, as soon as you started doing what was right, all the enemies in your life that you'd ever faced all came at the same time. And they set up camp right on the other side of you and said, bring it. You ever been there? Amen. It's like, man, I used to deal with just that, or I used to deal with just that. It's all the stuff coming at the same exact time. See, the enemy likes to try to get you when that faith is just budding, right? You had this amazing time in the altar. You felt the presence of God. It was undeniable. You know it was him. And then on Monday, everything. Right? Or you know what? You've been walking with God for a while. You're trying to get deeper in God. You had a moment with him. You felt called. God wants you to do some prayer and fasting, and donuts and bacon and eggs were brought by your boss to work on Monday. That's my all my enemies combined, right? They're all there. So the Spirit of the Lord, it tells us, covered Gideon like clothing. And he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were gathered together with him. You see, when you are faced by your enemies, God doesn't forget you. If you're still willing to walk, it said the Spirit of God covered him like a clothing. And then the boldness came, and he started blowing the trumpet. He started taking command. The least in his father's house gathered his father's house and said, I will lead you into battle. If you're willing to step out, if you're willing to say, you know what, all the enemies are there, and they're saying bring it, and they're putting all they got against me, all the strength, all the temptation, all the peer pressure against me, God says, if you're still willing to step out, I'll be with you. Because when it looks impossible, that's when God kicks in. Because all those enemies, the Bible tells us that was north of 120,000 people. And Gideon had him and his tribe. He said, that's all right, we got God. And says, the Spirit of the Lord covered Gideon like clothing. And he blew a trumpet. And the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. You know why they started following the least in their tribe? It didn't say the Spirit of God just filled him inside, right? It covered him like clothing. They could see a difference. They could see he was walking in the power of God. It covered him like clothing. It was on the outside too. Boldness had stepped out from his faith, from his obedience. Because you know what? It takes faith to obey God. Because the things God asks of us don't make sense to us. We're born into sin. We're not born into faith. But that faith manifests on the outside, and now boldness was blowing the trumpet. And they sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came to meet him. And then Gideon said to God, if you're going to save Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I am putting a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and it is dry in all the ground, then I will know that you will save Israel through me as you have spoken. See, you can look at that, and God could have looked at that as, you still don't have enough faith. Because just as a spirit of boldness was coming on him, oh, let me check one more time. There's still doubt. There's still doubt. There's still flesh there saying, are you sure you want to pick that fight? There's still friends around him saying, dude, who do you think you are? And Gideon said, I'm going to check again. God, have a little patience with me. You call me to do something that's a little bit beyond what I'm comfortable with. But you know what? God saw that as he's still willing. He just wants to know I'm with him. God said, okay. He puts the fleece out, comes out just like he asked him. He said, wait a second, God. Don't let your anger burn against me. We're down in verse 39, Rob. Don't let your anger burn against me, so I may speak only one more time. But please let me put you to the test only one more time with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let the dew on the ground be wet. God realized he just wasn't very good at science, right? Obviously, the fleece is going to soak up all the dew. So he says, sure, I'll do it the other way too. And Gideon got up, and God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and the dew was on all the ground. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people, this is chapter 7, verse 2, the people who are with you are too many for me to hand Midian over to them. Otherwise, Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has saved me. God said, I'll do what you want. I still want you to obey. And Gideon now had a little boosted faith. He had two more signs. He was ready to rock. And he's like, all right, God, let's do this with these thousands of people I've gathered together. And God said, hold up. You see, I still like to do the impossible, Gideon. I don't want you going out there with thousands. You know, it's like a 4-to-1 fight, and you know, you're still thinking we pulled this off. That's still too many, because I want to work a miracle in your life. You ever just get going, and you think you're on a roll, you think you're riding high on faith, and then something else happens different than you expected? It gets a little bit darker, it gets a little bit harder. Sometimes God just making a way for a miracle. Now, therefore, come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and worried is to return and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people from the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Okay, God, you know, it's like, what is this, like 13-14-1? We're doing all right here. Now, God says, that's still too many. Verse 5, so he brought the people down to the water, and then the Lord said to Gideon, you shall put everyone who laps water with his tongue as a dog laps in one group, and everyone who kneels down to drink in another group. Now the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men, but all the rest of the people kneeled down to drink water. Gideon's like, oh, you know, there's probably 300 didn't have enough faith. You know, God, I can work this with 9,700 people. I got this. And God said, I will save you with the 300 men. I'm not that great at math. I can't do that one off the fly on top of my head of how many to one. But it's basically God to 150,000 people. And Gideon could have been a little weak in faith. But you know, as boldness begins to work in your life, okay, you have obedience, right? And obedience, I was going to mess with them with the title, and I decided not to scare you guys into think we were going into Leviticus today or something. But obedience gives birth, or old Bible talk, begat boldness. But boldness leads to courage. And when you've been walking with God and you obey and you allow God's boldness to work in your life where you couldn't have done that on your own, God begins to rub off on you. He begins to change you. Remember I told you, if you give it to him, he'll give it back better, right? And God begins to turn boldness into courage. You see, boldness is an action. Boldness just describes an action. They did this boldly. Courage is a character trait. And God will begin to change who you are. See, if God had started off with Gideon, hey, get up, take 300 men and fight 150,000 people, Gideon would say, you are outside your mind. But God said, I'm going to work you there to where you can get where I can work a real miracle in your life. You see, God was working miracles all along the way in Gideon's life, but God wanted something that would stand out and save a nation. God wasn't just there for his family. God wasn't just there for Gideon. He would have done it just for them, but he said, I will use you if you'll let me, and I'll use you to save a nation. Now, the same night it came about, the Lord said to him, arise and go down against the camp, for I have handed it over to you. But if you are afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, so that you will hear what they say, and afterward you will have the courage to go down against the camp. So he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. See, God knew, hey, you know what? I'm not even going to wait for him to ask. I know what I'm asking him is big. He said, Gideon, I'm just going to set you up. I got the sign for you this time. You don't have to ask. Just sneak into the camp, right? No big deal. Sneak down in the middle of the enemy, right? If you want this sign, Gideon, you're going to work for it. So when Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend, and he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so it fell and turned it upside down so the tent collapsed. See, I would have been like, what kind of bread was that again? Waking me up in the middle of the night, I'm hungry. But his friend there, he said, he heard the account of the dream, and he replied, this is nothing other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has handed him over to him Midian and all the camp. When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship and returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has handed over to you the camp of Midian. He was already filled with faith, knowing it's already done. All I have to do is step out and claim it. So God divided his men into three groups of 100, and they snuck up on the camp. And verse 20 says, when the three units blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And they blew the 300 trumpets, and the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the entire army. And the scripture goes on to tell us how they defeated the army. They killed the princes. They chased down the kings, and they killed the kings that were gathered against them. And God gave them peace, just like Gideon was promised. And Gideon gathered the nation together, and Gideon led the people for, I believe it was 40 years, and they had peace throughout his entire life. And to show you what a difference he made, the moment Gideon died, the people began to stray again. That's not so cool, but it shows you the importance of one man who said, I'm willing, God, to obey. God, I don't know what your plan is for my life, but I am willing to say yes. God, I'll let you drive this car. I'll let you be in control of what happens in my life. Because God, I ain't doing such a hot job anyways. It's not like I got any plans to conquer the world, or, you know, me and Alex, we get plans to conquer the world. We play Risk. But other than that, God, I ain't going anywhere that fantastic anyways. I'll let you drive. See, God is not asking for, and he is not here looking for people. He's not scouting out and saying, huh, I wonder what kind of talents and abilities you got. Because if he was looking for that, he'd keep looking for a long time. You know, I believe, you know, God could have come down right when Adam and Eve messed that up. God could have come down right then, because he knew ain't nobody perfect that's going to come across here that can die for these sins, right? He knew that right off the bat. Scripture tells us time and again, he knows the beginning from the end. He could have stepped on the scene the moment Adam and Eve sinned, right? Or he could have waited until he had a murderer hanging around like Cain and stepped in and said, okay, I'll take this one. I'll go down to hell. I'll defeat the devil. I'll grab the keys. I'll take them back and we'll have salvation. We'll fill everybody with the Holy Ghost. We'll go to heaven. He could have done it right off the bat. But instead, he waited thousands of years, flooded the earth. Even Noah wasn't perfect enough. He was just good enough for that job. But he waited because he wanted to show us it only can be done by me. And he didn't leave us in the lurch. He gave them a way to roll their sins off to the next generation and still give them a chance to make heaven their home. But God waited till it was as dark as it could get. And he stepped on the scene and said, I'll take this now. God's not waiting for a people full of talents and abilities and full of wealth, full of riches, full of wisdom. God's waiting for a people that have tried it enough on their own and are willing to just say, God, it's your turn. Gideon and his family had tried it. And they got so beat down where they were just scraping together what was left in the field. So the Bible tells us, I jumped some scriptures for you so we wouldn't be here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon reading this story. But one of the pieces there tells us that the Midianites did not leave a single living thing that they could find for the Israelites. They weren't just there taking what they needed from the Israelites. They were taking everything they could, trying to cause misery. So for Gideon to even have that wheat was a miracle. And it says that he was hiding it so they wouldn't come and take it from him. They tried it all on their own, and they were scavenging around like rats trying to survive. And so what he found in Gideon was just a man that was willing to say, okay, God, it's your turn. And God is here today saying, if you and if I am tired of trying it on my own, God says, I'll take it over from you. I'll carry this burden. Because I can see what's down the road for you. I can see the plans I have for you. And only you would give me control, I'll do something amazing. Would you stand, please? And you know what? Something that's awesome in Gideon is when God worked that miracle in his life, the people were so ecstatic. They were so full of joy. They were so full of freedom. They were so happy. And they wanted that feeling to never end. So he said, Gideon, we want you to be king. And when you die, we want your son to be king. And when he dies, we want his son to be king. They said, we just don't want this to stop. But you see, by now, God had done a work in Gideon's heart. Gideon said, I'm not going to rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. If you need your miracle, God says, just obey. If you've already received your miracle, you need to remember you still need to make him king. Don't get your miracle and then take the crown back and say, and I'm back in charge. But say, God, every day, just like Paul said, I die daily. Because it's not going to stop. You came and you received the Holy Ghost and God changed your life, and then Monday happened. You still got to die on Monday. It's important that you not say, well, I've got what I need, and I'm going to take off. You can't just get what you need for today, but you need to get what you need for tomorrow too. And say, God, I don't want this to stop. I want you to be king. And tomorrow, God, I want you to be king. And Tuesday, God, I want you to be king, because what I get here, I want to take home with me. Amen. I encourage you today, come to this altar and say, God, I need something to happen. God, I need boldness. And God, I'm willing to obey. If only God, you will take control. If it's you in control, I release it to you, I trust you, and I'll walk with you. But God, don't let me have it back, because I want what you have. I want the impossible. This altar is open. If you would come, bring somebody with you. This isn't just a place of I'm broken and fix me, but God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.